free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, July 13th, 2009, by Christopher Olson of Swell Fuel, a company with a new design for harnessing the power of ocean waves inexpensively. Several prototypes have been deployed in various places around the world undergoing testing. The Swell Fuel lever-operated pivoting float, electricity-generating buoys, can be purchased for small-scale testing purposes. Their wave energy converters are available in 1,000 watts and 5,000 watt sizes. The ocean energy converter can be used to generate electricity that is sent to shore via marine-grade electrical cable or used to supply power to marine industry electrical equipment. Chris is the inventor and primary player in the company. Chris, welcome to the show.
Sterling, thank you for having me.
Great to have you on. Well, give us a bit of an overview of the technology, how it works, and kind of its promising points in terms of how it compares to maybe some other players in the wave energy industry.
Okay. Well, basically, it's a buoy that unfolds and then folds back up. It's anchored taut to the ocean floor, and as the waves lift the buoy, it unfolds, and when the wave lets it go, it folds back up. It's kind of like a horseshoe-shaped flotation device, and within the slot in the horseshoe, there's a gear motor, and the gear motor has a lever that's anchored to the ocean floor, and so when the horseshoe-shaped float lifts up, the gear motor rocks back and forth, and the actual motor is a counterweight to pull the lever arm back up. And when the wave gets too big, the lever arm goes all the way down towards the ocean floor, and then the float flips up on its end. And so now the lever and the float are all in a vertical position, and they can go under and actually lay down in the wave. And when the wave passes, it all folds back up and, you know, just continues this process over and over and over. It took me about 24 prototypes, and most of them, you know, when you start doing something like this, you know, you have these lofty ideas of how this is going to work. But the more you do it, the more you realize you have to make it simpler. And that's what I did. It was just a simplification process till I got it where it was just almost too simple.
Now, one of the things as you're describing this thing that's bouncing up and down on the waves that is not taken into account yet in your explanation, maybe you can help us understand. Along with the wave action, you also have tidal elevation changes of the surface of the water as the tide comes and goes. How do you adjust for that?
Okay, well, the idea here is that basically the gear motor that has it's a gear motor with a really thick bar bolted to the bottom that sticks out. It's a helical bevel, and it has a shaft that penetrates all the way through the gearbox, so it's attached on both sides. But as the lever rocks back and forth, it can, in a large size, it can just adjust for the tide just by, you know, it'll be pointing skyward, you know, at low tide and towards the ocean floor at high tide. But once the arm's pulled all the way down, then you essentially have a second lever. Now that that is all the way pointed to ocean floor, the horseshoe part becomes your lever, and then the horseshoe part stands up on its end, and so you have a lever at high tide and a lever at low tide, you know, even on a small scale. So it self-adjusts for tide, and it wasn't even something I planned. I just realized after I'd already filed a patent application that it adjusted for tide all by itself, and then I was just, you know, ever since I invented this thing, it was, and the way I invented it was, I used to have, well, originally I'd taken a mattress pump and I had nailed it to a board and put it on an inner tube, and I could pump up balloons and pop them. But what would happen was when the wave would get too big and the lever was all the way at the down position, then the float would like want to implode around the, you know, the mechanism part. And one day I had one that broke. The lever arm went all the way down and then just broke off. And then all of a sudden this idea popped in my head. What if we let the float stand up on its end at the last second and just be submerged and take the intense pressure out of it? And all of a sudden I was just the happiest guy in the world. I realized that I had kind of solved my problem. Is you know, how do you get out of you know, waves are great, but sometimes you got to get out of the way of them because it'll just destroy everything in their way. I mean, that's the reason all beaches are sand, because the waves are so intense, it just crushes everything in its way. And, you know, your ocean energy converter is no different. So you've got to learn how to get out of the way at the last second, and that's kind of what I came up with. And then the tide adjustment was just a bonus. you know, and once I had built a prototype, I had so much success with it and had put it in so many different ocean conditions and nothing ever happened to it. I was like, this is it. I've got it. Plus, you know, it's anchored solidly. And I didn't go into this without a whole lot of, I mean, I went into this with enormous coaching from a family member that knows everything about offshore things, and he's done it. He's been responsible for every part of it, you know, paying for it, owning them. You know, he's way up there. But you know, he made me very wise to what it was going to take to actually do this. And after doing a lot of prototypes, you know, there's different kinds of buoys. There's certain kind of buoys that let's say you just have a weight inside a buoy and it undulates around, or you know, I made pendulum buoys. I made, you know, shake flashlight buoys with rubber bands that would let magnets slide up and down and kind of bounce inside of, you know, like a shake flashlight. And I tried all these things but none of them had the intense force that you get from being solidly anchored. And I realized one day, I was like, you know, to make any kind of power that a power company is going to ever even think about, You're gonna have to go out there and get solidly anchored, and then be able to handle that intensity, you know. And that was the challenge, was how can I adjust for the tide change and handle that intensity, you know. And my device, you know, being able to, since we have two levers on it, we have an enormous amount of leverage, you know. And they're both going in the opposite direction, fighting themselves. And all that energy gets put into that gear motor, and it's extremely efficient. And you know, like I said, I had realized that I had done something that hadn't been done before. Nobody had ever come up with a buoy that unfolded. They'd, you know, come up with a buoy that had a wire going inside and it rolls up and unrolls. And basically, you know, I've tried it. It didn't work. We tried using a long gear rod. That was an absolute disaster. But to have just a short shaft that goes into this gear motor, I mean, the shaft on my device now is a 2-inch stainless steel shaft. You can't bend it or break it or you know, and it won't. It's completely covered, and the seal is just impervious. I've gotten some real good little secrets and tricks with the seals, and the shaft never even touches water. So, you know, we've just made so many improvements. But it was through prototyping. I'm on my 58th prototype right now. And, you know, maybe I'm obsessive compulsive, but I want to get this right. And by selling these to all these people around the world, they're giving this, you know, they're paying for me to build prototypes and then giving me the data. And it's not always great data. I mean, I can't say that, you know, that I win every time, but we definitely get to learn each time, and that's been a big help, is not having to pay for every single one of them myself.
Now, when you situate these, when you install them, how hard is it to get it situated properly so that it's at the right height, not too high, too low, and how much wiggle room do you have that way?
Well, what we do is essentially you want to go out at low tide, because you don't want the lever arm to ever be just sticking up in the air with much slack, because it is a gear motor, and what would happen if you...
Go ahead.
Are we going?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you had this lever arm sticking up in the air, and there was slack in the line. Well, that would give the buoy a chance to get a lot of momentum, and would slam your gears inside your gearbox. So we do it at low tide, so we always have tension throughout the tide range, and you know, like I say, that's the important part. But can you repeat your initial question?
I was just asking, when you install this thing, you've got a certain height at which the thing is anchored. And I'm wondering how you determine what that height will be and how much wiggle room you have up and down. And also, when we come back from break, we're going to be going to break here in about a minute.
Okay.
We'll want to talk about the price range of this thing.
Okay.
And how it compares to other energy sources, such as the coal and natural gas, are usually the lower price on local energy. How does this compare to that, for example, and will it compete with that? But let's get back to the question of installing and how do you determine the height of that. And
okay. Well, basically what we want to do, you know, is we install our heavy anchor, which usually is sandbags that we've contained, and then we take an anchor line that goes to the ocean surface, and then we want the line to be right at the ocean surface at low tide.
Okay. We're going to go to break now, and when we come back, let's talk about price point.
Okay.
Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Have you been making credit card payments for years only to feel like the balance never goes down? In fact, with interest rate hikes and late fees, you feel like you are getting further and further behind, no matter how high your credit card debt is. At Jordan McKenna, we are not here to judge you. We are here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and stop those harassing collection calls. We will even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars off your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan McKenna now for a free no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free no-obligation consultation, call now. 800-308-9952. That's 800-308-9952. Don't miss out. Call 800-308-9952.
I plug the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Arizona Together, Arizona's good news newspaper since 1991, was created to serve the community, providing information to help people enhance their lives in relationships, careers, finances, spirituality, and their own recovery. Arizona Together is solution-oriented and the resource for those interested in a better life today. To showcase your business and for subscription information, visit ArizonaTogether.com or call 480-767-7880. That's Arizona Together, 480-767-7880.
No.
Young Allen coming back at you on Eagle Mountain, talking to Chris Olson of Swell Fuel, a company that takes swell energy, as in wave energy, up and down in the ocean and turns it into electrical power. They have a new design that puts forth an inexpensive method of doing this. Now, it makes sense to harvest wave energy. You can see those waves going up and down. There's a lot of force in there, and as you mentioned, Chris, as those waves come crashing into the shore, they smash things to pieces, and that leaves you with sand on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, you know, one of the most, I guess, two of the really violent scenarios are when you have your storms. You've got a tidal surge from a tsunami, for example, where you have more of a, a horizontal force against things that are on the shoreline. And then the other would be a hurricane where you have a very high water height, you know, along with wave action. And I can guess from your description that the hurricane scenario is taken care of because at that point, your device is fully extended and is actually below the surface where all the wave power is
exactly
playing out.
Not everybody picks up on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
What about the tsunami scenario? Is that going to be a destruction of your device, or is it going to survive that?
Well, you know, if you're walking across the parking lot and get hit by lightning, you're probably going to die. I mean, you know, that's why you get insurance for those absolutely strange things you can't predict. A 300-foot wave is probably not, will probably lift up the whole ocean floor and drag it away.
So basically, you have to design for the, maybe the 50-year storm, but not worry about anything bigger than that?
I think that what we really want to be able to do is these things are kind of shaped like a boat right now, and then the lever arm, you know, in its resting position is up in the air. But what we can do is we can actually put power into the lever arm and make it turn in any direction we want. So we can make it bend down towards the ocean floor and release its pressure and essentially undo, you know, unhook it and then put like an outboard motor on it and drive it back to shore. So if you know there's a hurricane coming, you can just unhook them and drive them back, you know, and that's the idea is they're so easy to hook up that you can unhook them and get them out of harm's way.
I should mention for those listening on the show that you can go online to your website at SwellFuel, S-W-E-L-L, Fuel, F-U-E-L.com, to see both photographs and kind of artist renditions of how this thing works, along with some video, YouTube, and whatnot, where people can see this thing in action, kind of get a visual picture of what's going on here. And I'm also in process of creating a feature page over at PezWiki.com, under that same name, Swell Fuel, that will describe this system as well, to kind of help get a visual on it. You have built, as you mentioned, a number of prototypes, 53, you're on your 53rd iteration, but you also have some of these actually deployed at different places around the world. Could you talk for a minute about where those are how many you have out there in the field right now?
Well, right now we have one in Indonesia that has a wire coming to shore, and it's running into a battery bank. And that's been out there it's probably been out there for a week. It's the one on my homepage. And we have another one in South Korea, and they have it hooked to an oil rig, and they're doing experiments with it there. And that company's actually licensed it for South Korea, for a permanent license. And we did all extensive testing in El Salvador. The power company did the testing, and they collected their data, and they did probably four ocean tests and two. They actually rented a wave park, and that was you know, that was helpful for, so they didn't have to, you know, suffer the experience of putting in the water. Unfortunately, anything you do in the ocean is difficult, especially buoys. But those are the main things that we've done that are out and far away. And we've done several things in Texas. We did a 3-month test. We were trying to create a oyster reef using the DC power. You can also make, we've got an order for some for a coral reef restoration project, which is where you take rebar and you build a little structure and you put low current DC voltage into the rebar and it leaves calcium on the rebar, and then the coral sticks to the rebar and starts a coral reef. And then you move along and you move your buoys down and put more rebar out there, and so you can essentially, you know, start coral reefs, and that's where we're, you know, that's actually where we're getting the biggest orders is for that use, and that's going to be down in the Marshall Islands, and so we're really shooting for these small scale applications. Everybody wants to do these huge scale applications, but what happens is even on small scale applications, you fail, they fall apart, things happen. I mean, it's a learning curve, and if you go big too quick, people don't like you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to fail small, but it's really difficult to fail big. People back away, and then they never come back. So you know, we've really focused our attention on small scale devices. And most countries don't really want to invest in large scale. It's kind of like a pie in the sky. But the small scale, there's applications that, you know, there's a company that has underwater cameras, and they need power in the middle of nowhere. And we're like, well, we've got it, you know. So we can actually build a business where we don't have to go for government funding. We've been really leery about government funding because once you start going down their rabbit hole, you just keep have to keep going down the rabbit hole. A lot of the experiments we were doing, if I didn't like what I was doing, I'd throw it across the room mad and tear it apart and build something else. And you can't do that when you get government funding. You just change your mind. But that's how this works. It's like auto racing. You go to the races every weekend and you improve the car, and that's the approach. And whether it was the initial idea or it's a new idea, you know, you improve the car and you make it better. And 57 prototypes later, I'm getting pretty good at it, and we've got devices that'll hold up for a long period of time and make quite a bit of power. I would tell you that the one major thing that makes it difficult is, you know, we don't really want to use real high voltage out in the water at this point in time, but in order to get the power back to shore, you really need high voltage. Low voltage doesn't want to run that far, so that's the real dilemma is, you know, we're going to have to jack the voltage up pretty high to you know, if you want to send it a quarter of a mile, that's a long wire for, you know, voltage around, you know, 100 volts. We need volts up 500-600 or more. And that's kind of, you know, that's where it starts to get scary. And that's why we've tried to stay with applications that are offshore, that the power needs to be used offshore. So we can stay, in a safe range while we test. But you know, we do have a wire to shore, and there is some voltage drop. I mean, quite a bit.
Yeah.
So,
I did mention that we'd at least say something about price point in this segment.
Okay.
Let's at least touch on that before we go to break.
Okay. Well, the units we're selling right now with you know that. Basically, we can get a 1,000-watt burst energy out of them, and that costs about $8,000. And we'll send it anywhere in the world. he signed a license agreement saying, you know, you're not going to copy it unless we have another license agreement. And you get it in your backyard and you test it. Our goal for that unit is a kilowatt an hour. And a kilowatt an hour with no fuel charge at $8,000 is, if you compare it to a diesel generator, after 3 years time, the diesel generator, the diesel is going to cost you two or three times what the buoy is going to cost you. So, you know, we don't like to compare it to coal, but because, you know, we're not, you know, the coal guys don't go to the remote places. So we compare it to diesel generators.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we will explore more about the swell fuel technology.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com. kfnx.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Andrew Spencer. Police aren't wasting any time in Florida. Four suspects have now been arrested after a couple known for adopting 12 kids was found dead. Escambia County Sheriff David Morgan says they're not stopping at four.
We expect more arrests to be imminent in this case. These seem to take on a life of their own at some point, and again, we're very proud to announce that we hope to bring all of the suspects that we have identified early on in this case to justice very, very shortly.
Police expect to arrest four more people. Some scary moments on a Southwest Airlines flight from Nashville to Baltimore. The oxygen masks came down when the football-sized hole opened in the roof. The plane made an emergency landing. Nobody was hurt. Judge Sonia Sotomayor took center stage on the Senate floor Monday, giving her opening remarks in the confirmation process. Senators will question the Supreme Court nominee on Tuesday. This is CNN Radio.
What this real hot weather does is gradually pull up more moisture from the south each day, and that means we'll have a better chance of some valley storms by Thursday and Friday, and that'll cool us down 3 to 5 degrees. So the next several days, 110 to 113 with a chance of outlying storms. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 105 degrees.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Have you lost 20, 30, even 40% of your retirement portfolio twice this decade? Our clients haven't. This is Tom Bruckner, President of Strategic Asset Conservation in Scottsdale. We pride ourselves on being one of the only firms in the Valley whose clients never lose money, sleep well at night, and enjoy a worry-free retirement. Give us a call at 480-661-6800. That's 480-661-6800. 480-661-6800. The only thing you have to lose are those sleepless nights.
Do you need a new prescription for your life? Are you just not feeling well? I'm Dr. Asa Andrew, America's Health and Lifestyle Coach. Thank you for letting me walk with you on your journey toward extraordinary health. Join me tonight at 10 for Dr. Asa On Call, only on KFNX 1100.
This is Bob Knopf, host of Exploring God's Creation, airing Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Was your great-great-granddaddy an ape, or were you created in the image of an almighty God? Find out Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on KFNX 1100.
Enjoy your senior living at Courtyard Towers, located in the downtown Mesa Arts District. Personalized service in a professional environment and yet still very affordable. We offer our residents an opportunity to make new friendships and enjoy life to the fullest with a variety of activities and fine dining. For all styles of senior living, independent, assisted, enhanced, or memory care, Courtyard Towers Senior Living. Call for a tour today. 480-649-3000. That's 480-649-3000.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations there for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today. We just want to help the world.
866-536-1100.
That's a toll-free number if you're calling in live, or if you're listening live, I should say. 866-536-1100. Feel free to drop us a call and ask any questions you want of our guest, Chris Olson, who is talking to us about his company, Swell Fuel. That's over at swellfuel.com. And, Chris, I wanted to bring something up here. I was reading an article over at renewableenergyworld.com dated June 24th. Ocean renewable energy has huge potential, but not without giant hurdles. And it says that today's marine renewable energy industry is commonly compared to the wind industry of the 1980s and early 1990s. At that time, there were many competing technologies being developed and thousands of turbines were broken during the testing process. But they also said that even though it's, you know, that far behind in development-wise, that it won't take 15 years to catch up. Just curious to get your take on that little assessment.
That kind of always irritates me when I hear that because I've copied all, I'm an artist, most of the, all the renditions on my website are my rendition, or my art, but I've copied a lot of Rembrandt's paintings and drawings, and, you know, he did some stuff of Amsterdam, you know, and that was quite a long time ago, and they had lots of windmills in Amsterdam back then, so it's a technology that's been around for hundreds of years, and to compare it, you know, wave energy's never been used ever, so it's kind of not a good comparison. And wave energy, I mean, wind energy. If you're a farmer and you want to play with a windmill, you go out there and you buy some wire and some magnets, and make you one from scratch. And no, you don't have to ask anybody's permission. You just do it. Well, wave energy is different. You don't have access. Nobody's going to, there, I've only seen, one company actually gain access to the water that wasn't a military related, project. Only one company, and they did it in Texas, which Texas doesn't even have any really good waves to talk about. So, you know, access to the water is very, very limited in the United States, and that's why we've done all our testing outside of the United States. We've done it in places where, you know, they really don't have the ability to snub their nose at your project because they're like, you know, they need energy and it's important to them. But here, you got to play by some pretty strict rules, and access to the ocean doesn't come to everybody that wants it. So.
And there was a statement on your website that says, the Swell Fuel lever-operated pivot float electricity-generating buoy is not yet a Coast Guard-approved device and is not intended for use on commercial waterways. But that is kind of reflecting what you're just describing?
Yeah, like I say, we're not in the business of selling it to people that have a sailboat that want to make power for their sailboat. when they're sleeping, because you know, you don't just want to get buoys. You know, they're going to look like fleas everywhere because people are going to realize they work, and you know, the ocean's going to look like it's full of fleas, and you know, we don't want that. But we do want access so we can practice. Because, you know, I always compare it to NASCAR. You know, the reason your car works so well is because people go out and race them every weekend. And they have to make them slower now because they've gotten so good at it. But if you give someone nowhere to practice, it's like trying to become Tony Hawk on a video at home, you know, playing on a video game. And then put you out in a contest against Tony Hawk. I don't think you're going to win, no matter how much you play the game. You need to get out there and get in the water, and unless somebody gives you access to the water, you're never going to get good at it. So
even if you have beachfront property, let's say you own 100 acres that is on the beachfront, you still can't go out and plop a buoy out there if you live in the United States?
You're where that water line comes up, where the high tide water line is where your property ends. And so, you know, there is no access. You know, you don't just run a wire across the beach. You know, you're going to have to go through, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of politics before you get in the water. And like I say, Texas was the easiest place to do it. And it was called the Sea Dog, and they put it out there in Galveston right off the end of that pier. That pier actually got destroyed in Hurricane Ike, but they put that out there for maybe 6 months. So you know, that was a big accomplishment for a company to do it. And you know, then they got ignored, just like, you know, I think that getting ignored is the biggest problem. It's like once you've made some big feat of, you know, that then people don't care. And so you know, I spent quite a bit of time this summer in Greece, and you look at the things that they do there. They're so far advanced, and you know, they have solar water heaters on every roof. They have electric buses. They have when you go into your hotel room, you can't turn on the light unless you put the key in. So when you leave, you can't leave the room without pulling your key out, so the lights turn off and their air conditioner turns off. So there's so much being done around the world, but so little here. And, you know, and hopefully some of what we're doing, you know, at least the good ideas come from here. And I see why the regulators have to do what they do, because there's boats out there and there's ships, and you can't just get in their way. You know, you can make a big problem if you got in their way, but we do need a place to test and at a decent price, too.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. The photograph that's at the top of your website right now, or at swellfuel.com, it shows a buoy with some flags up on it, which I presume are to kind of give swimmers or boats notice that there's something floating there. As this thing is going up and down with the elevation of the tide and the waves hitting it, that thing's flapping up and down in the water. Those flags are flapping back and forth with it. How do they fare in terms of staying intact and staying visible?
Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't the one that we sent it without anything on it. We advised them what to do, and that's what they did. And they are not in a trafficked area. They're really, you know, they're right off of the edge of a coral reef, so they're not in a place where there's any commercial boating at all. But you know, eventually, you know, those things have to be addressed, and like I say, we're selling them on a very limited, and they have agreements that they're going to comply with all the local rules, but this is extremely small, deserted. I mean, this is an island that doesn't have electricity, so we're not talking about, you know, a commercial waterway.
Well, given the problems that you just described of access to ocean front for testing, how much of the ocean front is actually going to be potentially usable as an energy source once this technology matures and the industry matures and people start getting used to it and it becomes safe enough and cost-effective enough, et cetera, how much of that oceanfront is going to be plausible as a deployment area for these types of technologies?
Well, that's a good question. When I was in Greece, we drove along the, along the side of the sea there, and they have fish cages everywhere, and nobody seems to mind looking at these fish cages that are all over the place. They're very tolerant of the fish cages, so I don't know whether the Americans will ever be tolerant of a buoy, but it's hard to say. Whenever you try to do something here, you're always going to run up a lot of resistance from landowners, from fishermen, from crabbers, from there's just a lot of people that are going to come and protest, and everybody wants good things to happen, but they don't want them happening in their yard. So it's as long as fuel is as long as our electricity is as cheap as it is in this country, it's really going to be a real struggle, and that's why we haven't focused our attention on the large scale.
Because that is a driver over in Europe, is that their electricity is a lot more expensive over there.
Oh yes. Yeah. Well,
so it makes it easier for renewables to compete.
Yeah. Well, we've seen 50 cents, and when you start comparing it to 50 cents a kilowatt, I believe that we can actually come in way under that, or at least be, very viable. But at the same time, we don't want to shoot for that. That's our ultimate goal, but we want to make sure that we've got a buoy that will work on a small scale, and prove it and make money at it while we're proving it, so that we're not, all these companies that are trying to prove large scale, they all end up the same, broke, and decommissioned. I don't want to go into all the people I've seen but that's the end result on huge commercialization.
All right, when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit about the IP and other business aspects of your company.
Okay.
The mainstream media has lied. They've fooled you. Wall Street was corrupt. Your money is safe in the market, they said. You'll make 8 to 10% a year as long as you stay in. Don't be fooled again. Insure your assets. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 602-787-5950. Gold is up nearly 300% in the last decade and has never gone to zero. Proper diversification 8 years ago would have your retirement account positive. Act now to protect your retirement at 602-787-5950. Executives with big money firms are predicting another 100% gain, and there are a number of worldwide factors supporting this claim. Benefit from this bull market. Protect your assets. Roll over your IRA. And don't be fooled by other corrupt gold dealers and their prices. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 602-787-5950. That's 602-787-5950. Or visit us on the web at DesertGoldExchange.com and request your free investors package. That's DesertGoldExchange.com.
Hi folks, Jim Seawards for Legends Cadillac, Hummer, and Saab. Legends currently ranks number one in Cadillac, Hummer, and Saab sales in Arizona, and here's the reasons why. Number one, our courteous and professional sales staff is certified in every model we sell. Number two, our location is easy to get to just off the 101 and Hayden Road in North Scottsdale. And number three, our inventory of new Cadillacs, Hummers, and Saabs is the best in the Southwest. Now, if these three reasons aren't enough, then how about this? Legends has almost 100 frontline, ready-use cars, trucks, and SUVs. Most of these one-owner, low-mileage vehicles are Cadillac, Hummer, and Saab certified. This means low financing, 138-point detailed inspection, and best of all, a 6-year, 100,000-mile factory warranty. Legends has fast become the home for the luxury car buyer. Stop in and visit us and see why we've earned the praise. Legends, it's like no place else. In North Scottsdale or online at legendscadillac.com.
Free energy, now!
Billy Allen coming back at you. Here's one for you music lovers out there. As you've come to appreciate our free energy news service for exploring the cutting edge of clean energy, eMusic.com is a great place to find music from the more obscure yet very talented artists. Go to eMusic.com/energy, that's our affiliate page, to get a 14-day free trial with 35 free song downloads. If you cancel before 14 days, you get to keep all 35 tracks for free. eMusic is the number one site for independent music with more than 3.2 million tracks to choose from in the MP3 format, providing the best value in digital music. Try them out at eMusic.com/energy. Tonight we're talking to Chris Olson, who is the inventor and primary driving force between Swell Fuel. That's swellfuel.com is their website, where they harness wave power, and they have devices actually available for testing. Now, Chris, if I understand right, basically this is a early form of product available for sale, so to speak, except these are people who are willing to do testing, take data, and report that data to you, but they get a device that generates electricity for them, which they then use. So basically, they're buying an energy generator using the power of waves. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And we try to keep it to, certain companies that have the ability to test it and the place. We don't want to just give it to anybody, but that is the intention, and it really helps us to. It's kind of like our funding, It's like we want to make new buoys that are better and more well built and do our experiments. But if somebody else pays for it, and we don't have to do a whole bunch of we don't have to comply with a bunch of regulations in order to do it. It just makes it great. You couldn't ask for a better way to get money to build buoys. So we've enjoyed that.
It reminds me of how I felt when I was a student, a university student, and I found out that I was actually going to get paid to be a graduate student, that once I get into a graduate program with the research and whatnot that we perform, that I would actually get a paycheck. And so school stops being something that is a money out of pocket to becoming a job. That was kind of an interesting awareness. It sounds like, I imagine, that's not the case in all graduate programs, but it certainly was in what I was doing with physiology and whatnot. So you're enabling, you're giving a technology to people to test. They're getting electricity and you're getting data, basically a testing service, and selling a product in the process.
Yeah, it's kind of, I've had to be very witty. Everything that you see on the website, even the website was built by me. All the prototypes were built by me. The illustrations were done by me. The funding, which is probably almost $250,000, has been funded by me. The patent, at least the patent application rough drafts, were written by me. The contracts, the licensing, I've paid the attorneys to do that. It's a one man band, but it's kind of the only way to do it. As soon as I get people along with me, they start wanting to live off of me, and I am very blessed, but I can't afford a whole bunch of engineers to be living off of me. It has been a struggle, and I've had to learn more than I would like. I've gone to countries that I showed up in El Salvador by myself, and someone was supposed to pick me up, and I waited an hour, and I hadn't seen anybody. I thought, what have I done? Where am I? I've taken a lot of risks and been in a lot of places that I'm like, and then next thing I know, I'm talking to the entire power company in El Salvador. I'm like, this is crazy, but, it was what I had to do, and I continue to do that. It has been a journey that I never expected I would ever do. I don't even know why I got so passionate about it in the first place, but
Well, at some point, you're going to have to bring other people aboard in terms of, you know, making it a team effort. You're not going to be able to do everything. And I'm just curious at what your strategy is in terms of getting it to a point, how close you are to being to the point where maybe you could go to another level where you actually start selling these things commercially.
Well, what we're trying to do is right now no one in the world sells electric buoys. Okay, so I'm basically the only source. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to find and identify the customers, get them interested enough to make an order, you know, where we can actually go out and spend that kind of money. You know, my family is extremely fortunate, and not just my immediate family, my extended family is very fortunate, and we can easily go in and make buoys in a big way, you know, very professionally. But if there's no market, you know, we're business people. If there's no market for them, you know, we're not ready. So we're trying to build the interest, get the potential customers interested, and get some orders in, and find out what their needs are, and then we'll go in and spend large amounts of money. But then we know how we're going to get it back. You know, like I say, you know, governments can just throw money into research and never expect anything in return, but that's not the way businessmen run. And like I say, the my money, I'm not all that worried about it, but I don't want to go borrow my other family members' money and you know, and then not be able to give it back. So
yeah, well, I'm scratching my head here because you know, there's a lot of ocean on this planet and a lot of ocean front. You know, next to where people live, what is it, 30% of all human population is within 50 miles of the beach. And
oh, yeah.
So that's a lot of real estate to install buoys. I would think that you would have a huge market. Maybe you just need to come up with some kind of a clever campaign. But are you at that point? Are you at
well,
do you have
the campaign? The campaign has to be driven towards the government. And then if you go towards the government, they all of a sudden want a buoy that makes a megawatt. And that's a big step. It's like if the President of the United States went out to the Wright brothers and said, okay, yeah, we saw you fly for 59 seconds. Build me a 747. And don't fly it till you know it won't crash. We would never have an airplane. And that's what they want. You know, and there are some companies that are well funded by the government that are allowing them to make these baby steps, but I think they end up accumulating so much debt in the process that as a business plan, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, I have to tell you an anecdote. On the bottom of our website, we have this statement, he who is one step ahead is a genius, he who is two steps ahead is a crackpot. I was mentioning that at a presentation I was giving over in Estonia a few months ago, and somebody chimed in and said, he who is one step behind is the government, or something like that.
Well, I think someday our government's going to read about me in Time magazine and go, where'd that guy come from? But you know, maybe I'm I have to believe in myself, and to do something great in this world that nobody's ever done. You know, I mean, it's exciting, and I certainly put a lot into it. My wife has been an enormous saint, just to back me up and just to let me go out and take enormous risks with our money and not to look back, you know.
Well, there are a lot of companies out there pursuing wave energy technology. That we've got an index page on our site covering some of them. So, you know, you're certainly not alone in that regard. I'm just curious why you talk as if you're kind of a lone player, so to speak.
Well, other than the companies that are living off the government, you know, there's no income. This is an income-less. There's zero income other than government funding. And so I'm probably one of the only people in the world that has ever sold and made money off of a buoy. You know, nobody has ever sold one.
I noticed you also have a patent on your technology.
Yeah, most of the patents that you see are all copies of other patents, but mine came with a whole different design. This unfolding, you know, to unfold and to fold back, and nobody had really ever come up with that. And so it became clear to the people that you know, that is what my patent is. It's a buoy that unfolds, and I did get the patent, and it really is unique, because you know, I did thousands of hours of patent searches, and I know the patents better than just about anybody. And so when I see something, a lot of times I'll like send people, "Hey, look at this from 1909."
Thanks, Chris, for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy System Information Network.
Talk Radio 1100.